Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
It's so hot right now.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Owen here, and we're all back together for the first time in a while. I have Luke Johnson. Luke, what's going on?
What's up?
Luke is in studio, and live via satellite feed from Cayugas, California, is Andy Stevens.
Andy.
Live from Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv.
Oh, yeah.
What's the latest in Tel Aviv?
Latest in Tel Aviv? There's a crazy war going on over here. Oh, wait a minute. That was... couple decades ago.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing over here.
You're wading through the rubble?
I'm waiting for the next war. How about that?
Oh.
I'll be first on the scene.
There you go. Yeah.
All right.
There's always lots going on in the Middle East. So it's good to have all you guys, both of you guys, on the podcast again. It's been some time. We've done some random ones with one of you or the other, but... to have everybody is certainly a treat. We have a lot of things to cover today. We're going to talk about Andy's favorite, the MLB trade deadline, and Luke. And we talked about that a little bit before, but I didn't get Andy's take on it. So I have some questions for both of you guys.
Uh-huh.
I know you can't wait. And then...
Go ahead, shoot.
Shoot, yeah.
Shoot!
And then we also are going to talk about a little bit in terms of media coverage of the Jets and Tim Tebow. And we'll let Andy go with some Olympics coverage. Andy has about a half of an Olympic take, and then we'll let him go and we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on. Andy, what the hell have you been up to?
A lot of work. Don't really have time for much anything else, but hey, anytime you want to give me a call, I think it's a lot easier for me instead of driving into the
palatial studios of fansmanship.com. the Fansmanship podcast.
It's kind of a funny thing. It's a lot easier to just do it over the phone than it is to, drive all the way into the studio. So
yeah, if we can make it happen, we will. We're happy to have you in here. And, so first I want to talk about the trade deadline. That's the door shutting on all the trades happening. The fansmanship.com soundboard. So the trade deadline came and went. Luke and I talked about it, and the Dodgers and the Angels both pulling off
Hanley Wood
trade, and then the Zach Greinke trade for the Angels.
Yes, sir.
Andy, what was your favorite trade of the deadline? What do you think? What trade's going to make the most difference out of all the trades in the Major League trade deadline, Andy? Which one's going to be the biggest difference maker?
Well, the biggest difference, and first of all, a surprise, one of the teams that really didn't do anything, that actually just added one backup catcher, was the Washington Nationals. So they obviously feel like they have enough of what it takes to run this thing all the way to the end and end up in first and go to the playoffs. So we'll see about that. But being a Dodger fan, I'm very excited about the Hanley Ramirez deal. I think being in L.A. will definitely rejuvenate him. He's already working with the fans on a certain level. Not at the same level, of course, that we had with Manny, but on some level, it's kind of rejuvenated the team. The Giants countered with Hunter Pence, which I think is a pretty good move for them because they are just offensively starved most of the time.
Very underrated move.
Tim Lincecum comes back and is even, you know, because he's been a shadow of himself. He's even half of what he once was here down the stretch, then the Giants are going to be tough to beat. But other than that, I would have to say Hanley Ramirez. It's not like too many teams made too many crazy blockbuster trades as far as offense is concerned. The Rangers tried to get better with Ryan Dempster, but you both saw what happened to him as first part in Texas. And American League's not really like the Nationals, where he got hit for, I think it was 8 runs or something like that, against the Angels.
That's correct. Luke, the Angel fan, didn't like the Dempster trade.
I was thankful for that trade because we just beat the crap out of him.
So what about the Greinke move, Andy? It seems like it would be one of the better moves that was made during the trade deadline. What did you think of that one?
Well, I liked it, but my feeling on that is, you know, how many more awesome starting pitchers do you need? I mean, you know, let's get this thing done. I mean, I have a feeling that the Angels had a really good shot against Texas and might have been considered the favorite by some even before they got Greinke. So, you know, Greinke, I think, kind of puts them over the top, but Texas is going to be tough to beat. They score a lot of runs. I think if the Angels can stay consistent offensively, then they should have no problem at the very least getting one of those two wild card spots, if not win the division. But, of course, adding an ace arm like Greinke is going to, you know, bolster any roster, no matter if you're the, you know, Chicago Cubs or the New York Yankees. So, definitely a big move. And the thing is, the Angels are taking a big swing at it right now. They feel like they have, you know, some expendable parts in the minor leagues because they just brought up Trout, they just brought up Trumbo. Those are their two young go-to guys. So now I think they're just trying to fill in the roster everywhere else with some really high-level guys. They're just kind of playing for right now because they feel like they do also have a good future with those two young guys. So.
Definitely.
I think the move for Greinke was actually sort of a form of insurance for the Angels. Heron's been hurt off and on this season. He's not quite had a great year. And Irvin Santana has been nothing short of crap. Absolutely crap. So, you know, really they had two guys who have been throwing, you know, right now, which is Weaver and Wilson. And we all know that you need three solid starters if you're going to make a run of the postseason. And then especially with the move into the 7-game series now in the first round, I mean, why not have four lockdown guys to win you games, especially when you rank 15th average-wise when it comes to runners in scoring position. So that might have been why they went ahead and hit big with Greinke.
Right. Well, I think that what the Angels have assembled now is probably the best starting four pitchers since maybe the Atlanta Braves back in the early 90s when we had
back in the Smoltz area.
Smoltz, Slavin, Maddox, and Steve Avery at one point.
It seems like the A's had a pretty good rotation at one point, too.
In the early
2000s. With Mulder, Zito, and Hudson. Mm-hmm. And there was somebody else, too, that wasn't
there. There was someone else who came after Mulder.
I think it was Joe Blanton when he was really young.
When he was on the A's.
Hey, but you know, Andy, I want to go back. I want to go back and talk about the Nationals for a second. We're all amazed at the kind of season they've had. What would you do right now with Steven Strasburg? We know that there's that cap right now on the innings. Would you keep throwing him? Would you shut him down? Would you start skipping starts every second start to keep him kind of rolling into the postseason?
Now, can I just jump in here? Strasburg had Tommy John, is that
yes,
right?
Yes.
So I heard today on the radio they were doing like a Dodgers pregame thing. Tommy John had his surgery, came back, and in the late 70s, when probably there were like 4-man rotations, had pitched like 15 more years or like 11 more years after his surgery and didn't ever go on the DL again. And I wonder, like, do they just not do it as well anymore?
But
yeah. Like he missed a whole season and a half for sure.
But it'd be interesting to see which guys, you know, were out for the rest of their careers, you know, which guys were the Mark Pryors even back in the 60s, 70s and 80s.
Well, Tommy John was the first guy to have Tommy John surgery.
Okay.
Right, that's why it's called Tommy John surgery.
Sure.
And so that was like in the mid 70s. And so, like 74, I think.
But I'm saying post.
Dr. Frank Job.
Okay.
But yeah, post the Tommy John surgery.
Post the first Tommy John surgery.
To Tommy John.
To Tommy John.
Yeah. And they've looked at it. And I think, you know, for me, it goes to the kind of wussification of pitchers, I feel like. I'm kind of in the camp that wants to see a pitcher be able to throw, you know, a lot more innings. Be able to be kind of a horse, be able to go out there and be a Don Drysdale and throw every, you know, fourth day or something like that. I guess it does with the money that's out there. I guess it does put guys' careers into jeopardy sooner than later. And if they can throw less and make more over time, then I guess that's what they have to do. But I always kind of hark back to the olden days before I was born.
Sure. That sort of hard-nosed pitcher who was throwing just every other day.
Or like, you know, the Sandy Koufax who pitched for like, you know, less than 10 seasons and is a Hall of Famer, you know, kind of just was so dominant.
Or even the Babe Ruth who just kind of ate up innings and were hard-nosed.
Andy, what were you going to say? I'm sorry. I cut you off on the question.
No, that's fine. As far as Strasburg, it's very tough for me to imagine that a team that has been, you know, mired in such mediocrity since they've become the Washington Nationals, and even before then when they were the Expos, you know, would even consider not pitching their ace pitcher down the stretch because he ran over a certain amount of innings as, you know, management wants to keep him under simply because they want to save him for later. You know, and this team's never been down this road. You know, this might be their only shot. You never know with baseball. You never know. Mm-hmm. I mean, teams are good one year, and they miss the playoffs the next 5-6 years until they have to rebuild again. So I don't really understand it on one level. On another level, I kind of do understand that, you know, you invest so much money in these guys. Right. And I think that Washington actually set this limit on him because they figured they didn't have any shot of being in it down the stretch. Well, so they figured, well, there's one more year. We have to rebuild a little bit, so let's go ahead and limit him to 160. I do like Luke's idea of maybe skipping a few, you know, times through the rotation, or at least pushing him back, maybe a rotation and a half or something like that, and then have a spot starter every, that would be every week and a half. Otherwise, so kind of instead of skipping him every, just going like 6 or 7 or 8 starts. They're doing the same thing, or they did the same thing with Jordan Zimmermann last year too. So I think it's kind of it's one of those things that they feel is important to them. So we'll see how important they feel the postseason is for this franchise coming down the stretch, based on whether or not they
it's kind of like a saving them from themselves at the same time. Like, they know that they'll be tempted. They know that all the media will be tempted to, you know, have pressure, and the fans will be tempted to pressure Strasburg to stay out there. I think it's safe to say that Strasburg is a guy who has a lot of media attention, and who's kind of a media darling. When he came up, every start that he had in the minors was on ESPN. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the deal with the Strasburg thing. Another player who also another athlete who also garners a ton of media attention is Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow garners a lot of media attention
too. Bryce Harper, and they're on the same team.
And Bryce Harper and Strasburg together. But I also want to ask you about Tebow, Andy. Lately, it seems like all I've been able to see on TV, on ESPN, there's obviously the Olympics going on right now, so ESPN kind of takes a back seat during this time to NBC and all their and all their networks. But with the NFL season coming up, it seems like Tim Tebow is kind of like all Tim Tebow all the time on the four-letter network. What's up with that?
Well, I mean, I think you need to understand, or everyone needs to understand, first and foremost, that America is an NFL-driven nation as far as sport is concerned. And even down the stretch of, you know, a very good, I mean, there's a lot of teams still involved in the baseball race now that they've added that extra wild card spot. You know, it's basically, I think, four or five more teams, it seems like, are involved. But coming down the stretch, it's not that important, even compared to the NFL preseason or the Olympics, apparently, is what the evil four-letter thinks or believes. And you know that their high-up brass has always had a certain angle where they've wanted to take, and it just annoys the you-know-what out of you because it's just overkill. Every day, it's be there. You know, remember when they had, Camp Heat or something like that, when they were with the Miami Heat for their, all through their preseason? And every night they had, about a half hour on it every night. But the main, you know, straw that stirs the pot with this, though, is Tim Tebow. He's the reason why, you know, they're covering Jets camp so feverishly. Is because Tim Tebow, you know, he's the most polarizing figure in the game, and it's unbelievable. Would you ever think that a backup quarterback would ever be the most polarizing figure in the sport? Would you ever believe that?
Dave, he's not even a starter.
So, well, but you know, he was that's last. The reason why they're having so much coverage. And in fact, today I heard that they made a big deal, like there was some big fight at Jets camp, and you know, Rex Ryan got you know, Bart Scott in a headlock, or, you know, it's just overblown. All it was Joe McKnight throwing the ball after he got tackled out of bounds at an undrafted free agent, rookie DB, and them kind of getting in a scuffle, and then Tim Tebow coming and separating them. God bless you both.
But
you know.
Well, Andy, do you feel sorry for Tim Tebow in any way? I mean, this guy hasn't asked for this type of attention.
What? Hasn't he, though?
How?
I don't feel sorry for him. When they made a big deal the other day about him running through the rain with his shirt off after practice.
Yeah, I saw that, but come on.
Okay, he knows exactly what he's doing. Okay, Tim Tebow is no dummy. He knows. I didn't even think it was that big of a deal. I didn't even know I had my shirt off. He knows exactly what he's doing. You know, so I don't feel the least bit sorry for him. But he is a good down to earth kid. Of course, today I heard that Boomer Esiason came out and said that not only should he be the backup, but they should just cut him. They should just cut him. The New York Jets should just cut him.
Wow, and Boomer has a big show on the radio in New York. Yeah,
right. And that's what they were saying. He has a big New York radio show. Yeah. And
he's a pretty well respected voice there.
And when they asked Tebow about it, he kind of stopped for a second and he goes, "Well, I've heard nothing but great things about Boomer." Or no, he called him Mr. Esiason. "I've heard nothing but great things about Mr. Esiason, and you know, he has so many great things about him, and God bless him." And he knows exactly what he's doing.
Why people love them some Tebow, because every single question that gets asked of him that he could answer wrong, he answers it in the exact PC, team-oriented right way, and it's why people are so amazed by him, because he's the only one smart enough.
The maddening factor.
He doesn't say maybe what he really thinks, but he says maybe it is.
Maddening factor is that none of us know actually what Tim Tebow's thinking.
Right.
I mean, this very well could be him genuinely speaking out, you know, into the public, or like Andy said, there is this belief that he is this sort of Christian politician. He's always saying the right thing, and he does have sort of a Christian agenda in everything he does. And you know, none of us here at Fansmanship diminish any type of belief system, but sure, you know, if he is that politician, then yeah, I mean, I could see why there's some people who are kind of sick of him.
Andy, what's the Jets' record at the end of this year? I know we're going to do NFL preview stuff later on, probably in the month, but tell me what you think the Jets' record is going to be, just off the top of your head, knowing what you know. I mean, ESPN's been covering it like crazy. What do you think?
Top of my head, I got to go 9-7. I think they barely missed the playoffs. I like the Buffalo Bills to have a similar record and to have beat them in a head-to-head situation or some kind of tiebreaker and maybe make the playoffs.
And just circle the wagons. Circles the wagons.
In which week, if any, does Mark Glory Boy franchise fold and Tim Tebow actually gets a shot at starting at quarterback for the Jets?
Well, the thing about that is, if you're Mark Sanchez, you might have the most pressure a starting quarterback has ever had in the history of the NFL to perform to be able to keep your job, because you know, as soon as he, you know, throws a pick six or has a bad game in a big game early in the season, they're going to start calling for Tebow. The back page of the Daily News and the New York Times, you know, we start calling for Tim Tebow. So I say Tebow maybe gets his first shot at getting regular snaps, because I know he's definitely going to probably get some goal line snaps and some, you know, wildcat snaps. And they even want to make him the personal protector on the punt unit, which I think is very funny. As far as regular snaps on first down, second down, third down for an extended period of time, I'm
going to
go week 5.
So, I just want to get this on air, Andy, and, you know, maybe a little bit, I don't know, too bold or not too bold, but you're definitely under the belief that last season's sort of success for Tim Tebow was a fluke, correct?
I'm under the impression that last season, I mean, what exactly was the fluke? I mean, what?
Well, he was 8-4, and yeah. And he sort of resurrected a team, it seemed like, or like you said, that could be kind of a media concoction. But
I think what happened to that team, I mean, I think Tebow's, the way that team was designed allowed Tebow's leadership skills and not necessarily his passing skills, you know, be used to their fullest potential, because they had a great defense, one of the best defenses in the league. They really figured out the running game. Tebow was the threat running. That was able to open up a lot of lanes for McGahee. And you have to give him some credit. He made it, you know, a few big throws when he needed to. But then again, there were games where he only completed three or four passes.
Well, and that's a concern to me because number one, you know, Tebow didn't have a starting quarterback ahead of him who was comfortable in white pants, and now he does. We know Mark Sanchez.
He said he's a little too comfortable.
He's a big fan. And number two, you know, he was on a team, like you said, that was kind of everything was built around him. And it's not the case anymore. The Jets are a ground and pound team, but...
But doesn't that suit Tim Tebow best, that kind of ground and pound?
Yeah, but they're not built... There's a mentality you have to have, I think. And the Broncos had nothing to lose. They started off the season, 1-3 or 0-4 or something. And then Tebow came in. And so I just don't know if it's going to work. I kind of doubt it. I kind of think the Jets are like 8-8 or 7-9. And they're only 7-9 because they have veterans. I think they could very easily like have like a 5-11 season too. I think that it could really go south quickly. And they would have to blow it up. They have a lot of old guys. And I could see a couple guys getting hurt on the defense. I could see Rex Ryan kind of, you know, losing it, and I could see them just, you know, really taking a nosedive. Andy, we're gonna let you go. We're gonna get to a break here, and we'll come back.
All right.
It was nice talking to you, brother.
All right. Hey, thanks, fellas.
Thank you, Andy.
Good talk. Let's do it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm really concerned.
Andy, did you listen to Gary's new thing on Facebook?
No.
Andy, I'm really concerned.
What's he doing now?
I'm really concerned.
He's making prank calls that sound like Michael Jackson.
Who is this? This is Rachel.
You know what I did see that I really liked was, come on, kitty, kitty. Come on, kitty, kitty, kitty. Shh, shh. Yeah.
There's a character named Rachel now on one of his.
Yeah, there's a character named Rachel.
They're like, who is this? He's like, this is Rachel.
He's like, this is Rachel.
I'm really concerned.
I'm just really concerned.
I talked to your friend. And I heard you guys had a hard time.
And I'm kind of scared because she knows these thuggy G's. And I.
All right, dude. We're going to be back. It's the fansandship.com podcast on. Guess what? Fansmanship.com. See you, Andy.
See you, Andy.
So what is Fansmanship.com?
Say what?
We're a sports website by the fans for the fan.
He wants to be a Laker.
For the Central Coast.
Catch the ball.
California.
The sweat-stained glitter Simmons wig.
And beyond.
Tim Tebow.
We love sports. Fansmanship.com. By the fans. For the fan.
Flashing clip-on nipple piercing and pink or purple tanning thong for absolutely free.
Yeah. Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans.
And we're biggity back on fansmanship.com. Luke and Owen.
That's right. No, Andy, we want to thank Andy again for
Andy went and walked his dog down to the beach. Dino needed to get out.
Wally.
He's a Boston Terrier, so I got to call him Wally.
Cal Wally. That'd be awesome if Wally he was like the mascot and they just called him Cal Wally. Yeah. I don't know.
The Cal Wally Boston Terriers.
That's what happens when you get older. Your jokes get cheesier.
Cheesier and cheesier.
Yep.
So, Luke, have you watched the Olympics at all?
You know what? I mean, I hate to admit this. I've seen bits and pieces. Luckily, we have something called SportsCenter, so at least I see...
No.
You know, at least I see bits and pieces. I saw the Usain Bolt.
So this is my take. This is my big Olympic take. You said Usain Bolt, so I gotta I gotta tell you, I have yet to see the race.
Oh,
I have yet to see the race
and
at all.
See, isn't that the problem?
No. But so yeah, that's exactly the problem. So I was at home on Sunday, right? Was the final or Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, you and I can't talk about this.
No,
right
we
now.
Can. I mean, I saw who won.
Oh,
so. But
why haven't we seen
it? So Sunday, it was Sunday, right? Or was it Saturday?
It was Sunday.
It was Sunday. Okay. Are you sure? Anyway,
I don't even know when it was.
The day that it happened, I was at home and I was on my computer and I went on Yahoo Sports. I don't care about getting spoiled.
Spoiled.
And I saw that Bolt won again. I said, great. There's a picture of him. High five. Great. I'll watch it tonight. And I got caught up doing something else. I already knew that Bolt won, so I didn't
He broke the record.
I didn't set my schedule. He broke the Olympic record, not the world record.
The Olympic record, right. Yeah.
And
but that says something.
It's awesome. And so I didn't I didn't set my schedule for it. I didn't catch it. I thought, man, I'll catch it on the internet. I went today, finally. Mm-hmm. My life got less crazy enough this afternoon.
You were kind of pissy today when I talked to you, or when I texted you.
Finally went on the internet, and this may be why, because I looked on the internet, and it's nowhere to be found. Probably only on NBCSports.com. They don't let it go out on YouTube because they pay so much for the rights for it.
I don't get this.
And so because I don't have cable, and because I don't have like a little code, I can't get... Because if you have cable, you can type in your account number or whatever,
you don't have the password,
works.
Yeah.
I don't have the secret password, and so... I went to look at it, and I can't find it. Mm-hmm. There's no YouTube videos of it. There's no free video of the 100-meter dash, and I don't think there will be.
I'm trying to understand.
It's a little bit frustrating. It's
what I don't get is, it now are the Olympics just not popular here in America? Do we not tune in?
They're very popular.
I mean, are we not tuning in?
No, we're tuning in.
So
more people tune in at night, Luke.
So why aren't the executives?
The premise is that more people tune in at night, so you save all the good stuff. You save the gymnastics.
But I want to see it, man. I want to see it all.
But you can see it all if you either watch it live, and you can't watch it live.
You can't watch it live.
You can on the internet if you have NBC and
cable. But why can't we watch it live?
Because NBC wants people to watch it at night because that's when the most people watch TV. So instead of showing it during the
day, replay it.
Right. So instead of replaying it, they give you the chance to be a spoiler alert guy.
I mean, come on.
It doesn't make a lot of sense in this day and age when we get stuff now. Yeah. Like you said, replay it. There's enough channels. There's enough internet stuff. Yeah, replay it. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I watched a volleyball match the other day. I got a new puppy and the other day, she woke up at like 5 a.m. So I got up on Sunday morning at like 5. And I'm like laying on the couch watching, I think it was actually water polo, men's water polo.
Oh, water polo. Cool.
Yeah. I'm a big water polo fan. And,
I like the volleyball.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. and so the water polo game was on. And
I like, what's her name? Something Hooker.
Destiny
Hooker.
Yeah.
That girl can ball.
Yeah. She's so tall.
She's cute too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, the water polo match I was watching was on at 5, and then it was on again at like 12:30. So they are replaying some stuff. So I don't get why they can't replay track and field. Why I have to? And I guess it's to get me to watch it at that exact moment because
there's
too much
consequences.
Control,
Yeah. Okay, look, I get that this country and this world is ran by the great dollar, the great currency. But it's like, couldn't there just be one time when executives are a little bit giving?
Currency is not a reality, Luke.
I know you and I were talking about that, but it is a construct. But that's not going to happen on fansmanship.com. No, but seriously, I mean, how have you and I not seen the Usain Bolt live?
I tried. I efforted. I don't have cable, and so I guess I don't pay for it.
But see what I mean?
Yeah, no, I should be able to see it.
It's the Olympics.
I should be able to see it, and I shouldn't have to... I don't know.
You should be able to see your countrymen.
Now, if I had cable, I would be able to see it. I got to say that. So I don't pay for cable or DirecTV. I'm kind of cheap that way right now. We're experimenting with what we can get on the internet.
Oh, I thought you meant something else.
So,
experimenting with trying to have children, and so we're trying to save?
No.
Oh.
That might get actually edited out.
Really?
Possibly.
Okay, yeah. You're right.
So, yeah, just trying to...
That wasn't that bad.
Trying to figure out, do we need DirecTV? Do we need cable? And I guess this is one ploy, just like the live sports is a ploy, right, to get Fox Sports West and all those channels... is a reason. It's an incentive for me to have cable and get those other crap channels. And if I want my live Dodgers, if I want my live Olympics, if I want all the channels, if I want to get a replay online, I have to have cable. Because otherwise, it's not worth it for the cable companies to pay the networks that much if I can just go online and get it and I don't have to watch it through the cable. Right?
It's just sad when the Olympics, for me, are embodied through miniature clips on ESPN.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
It's a bummer.
Yeah, and ESPN has to pay NBC a ton of money.
I saw this epic Usain Bolt run. I mean, the guy looked like a damn gazelle running down that track and just a gifted runner.
He takes three less steps than everybody else.
And I had to watch this guy do this epic run on this little clip on SportsCenter with some annoying guy talking over.
Look at him run this moment. Really fast. Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, exactly. Because yeah, what's annoying? What does a SportsCenter guy actually? I mean, what is he going to actually say?
Yeah,
about annoying. A run. He's running really quick.
Right.
He's running faster than the rest of the group.
Right. Right. Yeah.
They shut up.
Look at him run really fast, and he's gonna win. I'm gonna, and boom goes the dynamite. It's actually, yeah, it's not good. What are some other Olympic sports that you really enjoy watching in the summertime? I know in the winter time, I really like to watch things like random winter. Things like curling and
I love the winter
and
Olympics.
Stuff like that. I like curling.
I love the bobsled.
Yeah, and so what are some other sports in the summertime that you try to? You know what I always enjoy is the javelin because they never show it enough.
I love that the javelin. It's cool.
Yeah, they never show it enough, but you see those people do it, and it's like. That's a cool, like the pole vault. Like I want to watch that.
I think I told you that before the Olympics started, which it hasn't happened because of the way the whole Olympics are set up for me. For me, the world is supposed to revolve around me, okay? The way that it's set up, you know, I haven't seen the Olympics, but I said to you earlier that, you know, hey, I want to watch these random Olympic sports. I want to see these random, you know, like the javelin or the whatever. And I want to see these people who have given their whole lives to this effort. Perform. I want to see this because I'm sick of the Carmelo Anthony's and the Chris Pauls and these. We already see enough of Kobe Bryant. I mean, get them off the screen. I mean, seriously, I actually was rooting for Argentina the other night.
Against the U.S.?
Yes.
Were they playing the U.S. the other night?
Oh, see?
Lithuania. There you go. Lithuania almost beat them.
Yes.
Yeah, the Lithuanians.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been neat.
Go Lithuania.
Come on now.
What is their mascot?
Does the U.S. have a mascot?
I don't know.
No, just kind of no imagine. The Olympics.
I just imagine some like I don't know.
You know what my favorite thing, like my favorite epiphany, and I knew it before, but it's
wouldn't it be like the Statue of Liberty?
Every time I hear the British national anthem, mm-hmm. I sing "My Country 'Tis of Thee."
You do?
Because that's just the same. It's the same tune.
Washed up, yeah. It's the same.
No,
tune.
It's the same tune that we stole. We reused it for a song about a patriotic song about America because it was a patriotic song about.
Okay,
Britain.
But listen. So
when we came over, we made it "My Country 'Tis of Thee" instead of "God Save the Queen."
So this is the problem with corporate America.
God save yes, the Queen.
Exactly. Listen, yeah. This is the problem with corporate America. Is
we wow. Way to make that about corporate America.
Because listen,
hear it.
Because our music. I mean, listen to the radio. It's these cheesy one-line hooks that are played over and over. Just you know, if we can memorize one line of a song, it's a hit. You know, this is why I like Miley Cyrus and these people are stars.
So what
is that about America? I mean, why would we, if we want to split for Britain, why would we just sort of regurgitate?
It's actually a direct,
like a smack in the face.
Yeah, exactly. It would be like if somebody like from, I don't know, say like Alaska decided they don't want to be part of the U.S. anymore.
Alaska. Well,
and they
of
had
course
like
it's
a,
Alaska.
And they had like a patriotic song about Alaska.
Can it
that
be
was
Texas?
To the Star-Spangled Banner. Okay. The Star-Spangled Banner was also a different song too. That tune is also a British song. So
look
there's
at,
a lot
look
of those.
At Mr. History.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. Actually, if you watch soccer,
uh-huh.
you hear a lot of that. Interestingly enough, it's kind of a
don't
kind of a weird deal. Yeah, the kitty cat.
Don't worry about the cat.
The cat has come into the studio.
The cat has come in.
So you said what? What are your favorite sports out there? That you don't get to watch otherwise.
You know what's kind of cool is I watched the women's basketball. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, they're dominant, dude.
Oh my
they're so good.
God. I like watching them better.
Do you know what the difference is? Because I used to watch them like in the last like 8 years. I've watched them in the Olympics and other things. Like Lisa Leslie was dominant down low, but some of these low post players, they're not tall and skinny. They're tall and like
dude.
Built and they're like posting fools up and they're like drop stepping and they're outrunning the other girls.
I'm telling you,
there's another level of athleticism that, oh gosh, and now I can't even remember their names. They're like the girl who played at Tennessee. There's just like three or four of them. My dad asked why that girl from Baylor, Grimes, wasn't.
She is.
She's on the national team?
Yes, she is.
Are you sure?
I saw her on the bench.
She just doesn't play. She's like Anthony Davis.
She doesn't play. She's like
Griner.
She's like
Griner. Sorry, I said
Brittany Griner.
Brittany Griner, yeah.
That girl can ball.
But Candace Parker?
Candace Parker.
She's the one I was thinking of. She's just like running and like dominator.
She can ball.
She's a dominator.
You know what's cool?
And Taurasi's like 6'2".
Oh,
and
Taurasi,
like,
bro.
Just
you know what's
threes?
Funny?
Yeah.
Taurasi is like the Kobe Bryant of the WNBA.
Totally. Yeah, she's like, she's instant offense.
Yeah.
She's
instant offense. You know who I always thought was really cool, but she never panned out in the WNBA because I like her name, is Swin Cash.
Swin Cash? She played good in the WNBA.
She played for UConn. She played good for a couple of years, but wasn't that great, I guess. But
you don't think so?
Well, I mean, from what I've seen, okay. I mean, Swin and then Shamika Coldstaw.
She's on the team too?
No, she's not.
She's not on the team?
She retired, bro.
Oh, she was on the last team.
She played really well for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I also like the swimming's kind of overrated. It's actually overplayed.
It's totally overplayed.
The swimming is overplayed.
I like that. I like the female swimmer who's a little bit younger, who's in her first Olympics. Okay. I like watching those swimmers who aren't like so robotic and professional, but like they're like so excited when they win. It's one of the reasons why the last Olympics swimming was good, because the men's team had some energy and some emotion.
Okay,
this year there's no togetherness. There's no emotion with the men's team.
Yeah, because Ryan Lochte. I don't want to get started on Lochte.
And Phelps.
What's wrong with Phelps? He's won 23 medals. When you've won that many medals, you can do whatever you want. Did you hear Lochte's beef? Lochte's beef is he doesn't work as hard as I do. Well, get over it. Don't you think Luke Walton?
He's better than you, though.
What if Luke Walton was working all the time and he's like, Kobe doesn't work as hard as I do? You'd be like, dude, that's Kobe Bryant. You're Luke Walton.
You're like, he doesn't have to.
Welcome to the real world. You get paid, $4 or $5 million a year to be Luke Walton. That's pretty cool.
And to kind of talk with a really low voice.
Oh, and I mean,
Luke Walton and your voice. You have a voice like Luke Walton. It must be a Luke thing.
Except not as dumb sounding. Wouldn't you like being paid $4 million a year to be Owen Main in the NBA? Just Owen Main.
Well, yeah.
And you wouldn't be like, I work harder than Kobe. You'd be like,
I'd be posting fools up.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't even be on the court. You would be like the 12th man. You'd be a practice player. You'd be like the brand new Jack Haley.
You know I'd be posting fools up. Okay, so the other two that I'm thinking of are Sylvia Fowles, who played at
that
Louisiana State.
Ball.
She played at LSU, and she's like 6'6".
She's a beast, bro.
And she runs the court, and she's incredible.
Who's the other one? There's another one in there.
So I said Candace Parker. She's 6'4".
Yeah, not Candace. And there's a girl from UConn who can ball, too. Not Tarazi, the other one who was a baller.
From UConn, huh?
Yeah. Keep looking. You'll see her.
Asha Jones?
No.
Simone Augustus is only 6 foot.
Simone Augustus can ball, though.
She's from LSU also.
Keep going.
Sue Bird. Sue Bird's a point guard.
Oh, she's also from UConn.
Tamika Catchings from Tennessee.
Tamika Catchings can ball.
Tina Charles? That's the one. Tina Charles.
Oh, dude, she is so good.
Yeah. Yeah, they're amazing.
She is good.
You know what I find interesting is that none of the women's basketball players, for all the women's sports that happen in California and all the great athletes in California, none of the women's basketball players on here are from California. And I just kind of, it's... Oh, yeah, never mind. I'm done. I'm Diana Taurasi's from Chino. So, never mind. I'm wrong.
Oh. You know what's really honorable about the WNBA girls, gals?
What's that?
Lauren Jackson's the highest paid player in the WNBA, and she makes $115,000 a year.
From Australia.
From Australia. She plays for the Seattle team, the Seattle
Storm. Left-handed, right?
Left-handed. I mean, a really good player. A great post player. She's the highest paid player, and she makes $115,000 a year.
Wow.
Luke Walton makes what?
$115,000 a week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird, but who watches it? I mean, that's the thing.
Well, no, I mean, I get it. But
that's why, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's why Taurasi and these girls play over like in Italy and stuff during the summer during the off season because they can't afford not to.
Right, right. They gotta play. They gotta
and
work.
If they get pregnant, which happens all the time, they miss a whole year.
Well, there you go. I remember in the early years of the WNBA, there were some girls who were playing until like their sixth month of pregnancy or something like that. They're like
and
straight
gnarly.
Balling. They're straight balling, like Cheryl Swoops, I want to say, like, or some of those girls on the Houston team back in the day.
And Cooper.
And yeah, Cynthia too. Cooper. Yeah. She was that girl could ball.
And Holtzclaw did that too, actually.
Look at us dropping some WNBA knowledge.
There's some good ballers.
Some good ballers.
Bring it down, Owen said.
Simmer down now.
The producer said, simmer down.
Simmer down.
No
now.
More WNBA talk. We're going to get zero ratings with that talk.
Well, we get zero ratings anyway, so.
But even so, it's like negative.
No, it's okay. I don't mind. I don't mind talking about WNBA.
Okay, so Owen, so what about you? I mean, what sports are you?
I told you, I want to see like.
Besides javelin.
I want to watch more like javelin, pole vaulting,
shot put.
I want to see those sports like, I don't know, it's the team sports, as soon as the Americans are out of it, I'm all like, I don't care about it anymore. Like, that's honestly like the way I feel about it. I don't know why, but like.
How very status of you.
Like the U.S. volleyball team lost, like the, what's Dahlhauser and the guy Todd Rogers and Phil Dahlhauser. They're from like San Ynez and Ventura.
I was surprised they lost, actually.
I was too. Dahlhauser's like the Shaq of volleyball. And so when they lost, I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch beach volleyball anymore. And like, you know, just because I attach my, I attach to those teams more than I do to individuals. So I can appreciate like an individual javelin thrower from, I don't know where, Switzerland, just fine. But it's hard for me to like root for or spend a lot of, invest a lot of time in, you know, a water polo game between Hungary and Croatia. I just can't. Hungary. You like how I said Hungary?
Hungary.
That's not even a...
Hungary.
I'm an idiot. Between Hungary and Croatia.
Awesome. Hungary.
Hungary.
Destiny
that
Hooker.
That was embarrassing. Yeah, women's volleyball is awesome.
Have Those you seen Destiny are, Hooker play?
I have. She's like 6'5", 6'8". She's
a
like,
machine.
And there's another girl on that team, too, who's almost as
there
tall
is?
As her. Yeah. Who's almost as tall as her.
I thought they all were
It's hard to younger. Pronounce. It's Shut up.
I did.
Logan Tom. Dropping some knowledge.
She exists. Okay.
She does exist. She's
Destiny Hooker exists. Lauren Tom.
Logan Tom.
Logan Tom.
She's like...
Her name is Logan.
Her name is Logan.
So her parents went with that kind of male-sounding name.
I guess, but she's like one of the best female volleyball players... In the U.S. history.
Is she womanly or does she, you know...
Look her up, dude. Look her up. I'll stay here. You go look her up. Okay. I have one more take, and that is to say that, unfortunately, the Cal Poly ladies, Stephanie Braun-Trafton, I think, and then the one that you were talking about earlier, Luke, in the heptathlon.
Yes.
That you can't think of her name now, even though you could before.
Day.
Sharon Day.
Sharon Day.
They both competed. They both did okay. I think Trafton got, like, eighth in the shot.
Day.
Or in the... Shot put
and
Day got like 14th in the heptathlon, yeah, something like that.
Which I Facebook having some actual sources. I have sources when it comes to Sharon Day, but let's just say I know somebody who knows somebody,
yeah,
who knows Sharon Day very well. And the quote on Facebook was, "It wasn't Sharon's best performance. She did good in a couple categories. She's usually more consistent. So you know what." It's amazing to think how these athletes like Sharon Day, these locals, work so hard and then can just have an off day.
Yeah, yeah. And there's another local, slow high grad, Jeff Powers, who's on the water polo team.
Oh, yeah. Logan Tom. She's womanly. I'm just saying. You asked me.
Is that how you're judging female athletes now, Luke?
If they're womanly or not?
Yeah. And if so, what does that say?
Doesn't every man?
It doesn't bode well for you, Luke.
Well,
doesn't bode well. Sorry.
It's a compliment.
Yeah, so there you go. All right.
Move on.
So the last thing I want to ask you, every day we see this medal count, U.S. versus China. Who has more medals? Is that the stupidest thing in the world, or is that just a stupid thing?
It's really stupid. But I think it's the media trying to separate from the reality that... Here we go to reality again.
Okay. The media wants to have reality. Go.
The media is honking in the background. From the reality that, you know, our economy is so tied to China, where people actually, you know, economists actually call us Chimerica.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe it's sort of a message handed down from the top that says, hey, try to separate us. You know, let's make this a big deal that we're America, they're China, we're competing, we're number one, even though in reality we're not, but we're trying to separate ourselves.
So you're saying it's like a metaphor for us actually competing against them
It's us in some way trying to separate ourselves still.
Or showing, I mean, sure. Really, in the end, it's democracy. It's what used to drive us against the Russians back in the day in the Olympics. It's democracy against communism. I mean, at its... You know, it's free market versus communist dictatorship.
Dictatorship. Wow.
Right.
I'm proud of Owen.
Right. I mean, dropping a little poli sci. That's what it is. And so if you're talking about handed down from the top, that's really what it's handed down as is us kind of in a way through playing and through sports and games playing out that conflict maybe. In the Olympics is a way to make the and I'm getting really, really deep, right?
Deep.
But a way to make the actual conflict alleviated a little bit more, I guess.
This is when our listeners are like, shut the hell up, Luke and Owen.
Just stop.
I don't want to hear about poli-sci.
Luke, I want to know the answer.
The answer to everything.
The answer to everything. So, really quick.
Bourbon.
I'm not even going to ask that question. I'm just going to go for it. We're done. It's 44 minutes in. We gave ourselves a 40-minute time limit, so we're done for today.
Yeah, we're done.
If you made it till now, thank you.
Hey, can I say that anybody who does listen to this, hopefully I'm not speaking to just like some white noise out in the universe. Anybody who actually does listen to this, I just want to thank you personally. For reals, I want to thank you and say thank you for listening.
Luke has a very heartfelt look on his face
right
now.
I did actually close my eyes.
Yeah.
I hope that you actually enjoy something in this, and thank you for listening. And you know, we're just trying to get better every day, and we just appreciate your time. So, thanks a lot.
Yeah, stay tuned. I'm going to try to get with at least part of Cal Poly camp this week or next week, and try to interview a few more Cal Poly coaches over the next couple weeks as well. So, hang in there. Thanks for listening.
Hang in there.
Hang in there. Try to do better tomorrow.
Times are rough.
Fansmanship.com podcast. Peace.
Peace.